step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
An hour of fun, informative hockey talk with Predators PA announcer Paul McCann.
Thanks, Paul.
Former NHL player and coach Brent Peterson and third man in Zach McCann. This is Slapshot Radio on Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Get up indeed. Welcome in to Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on the Game Nashville app. No, you are not dreaming. Get your butt out of bed. It's time to talk some hockey on a Sunday morning. We're breaking down last night's game against the Colorado Avalanche. We're also talking to the editor of this, the author of This Team Is Ruining My Life, the one and only Steve Dangle. Glenn going to be joining us. It's all today brought to you by Day One sponsor, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Carter Church from Weichart Realtors, the Andrews Group, your real estate expert in Murfreesboro and Nolensville. And the latest addition to the Slapshot Radio family of advertisers, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, and our friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries with three locally owned and operated locations right here in Middle Tennessee. I'm Paul McCann. Our co-hosts are former NHL coach and player Brent Peterson, and the host of the Preds Watch Parties, Zach McCann. And Brent, I'm surprised we were actually able to get you in this morning.
Well, I went to church.
I was wondering why the golf clubs wasn't in your hand. It looks like you might actually be able to get nine in today.
No, it's too bad. I every Sunday's been beautiful this month, and it's been the only day I could play, and I can't. I don't play Sundays because I just go to church and take the one day off. I play 6 days a week, though.
Oh, okay. Well,
not this weather.
Oh, no. It's gorgeous out there. And Zach, after a day of podcast recording for your side gig, tell us a little bit about your other podcast that you're doing.
Oh gosh, well, this will surprise no one who knows me personally, but I do a fun audio drama podcast that is a kind of fantasy based, fun little RPG type thing with me and a couple of buddies, some fellow people in the arts. So the conceit is we have five actors who do a drama podcast, essentially based on a complete world. It's, you know, super nerdy, super fun. So check us out, RPG Radio Show on all social media. So yeah, take a listen. It's fun. If you like Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones and all that sort of thing, then we are certainly good for that. But boy, the elephant in the room.
You know what? Let's get to
the
it right away.
The striped elephant in the room.
You know, it was interesting. In this roller coaster, you know, Coney Island comet of a season that we've had here in Smashville, last night I think was the first time I've left that rink aggravated at something other than the Predators play. You know, actually, I think the last night was one of the Predators' more complete games, which is scary. It was an excellent hockey game until 3 minutes and 14 seconds to go in the game. At that point, Dante Fabbro unleashes a shot from the point, manages to find its way through the traffic and find the back of the net. And the celebration ensues until one of the guys with the orange armband waves the goal off. The reason the goal was waved off was for goaltender interference. And I will tell you, given that it was a bang-bang play, I understand it. It was, unfortunately, there was a certain Russian defenseman from the Colorado Avalanche that I'm not a big fan of.
It's always freaking Zadorov. I'd swear.
Zadorov, yeah.
Yeah, Zadorov, whatever. So sucks. You know?
But Zadorov makes contact with Colin Blackwell.
Right.
Blackwell goes down on top of the goaltender. Now, I will tell you, the contact with the goaltender does not happen until after the puck crosses the goal line. classic definition of goaltender interference is interfering with the ability of the goaltender to play the puck.
And plus the guy in front, if he's moving
right
towards the goaltender and then gets pushed in, it is goalie interference. But he was stopped. Facing the where the shot was coming from, and he gets pushed into the goaltender, and like you said, after the puck already went in.
So
that's exactly right.
So if we want to follow the official's logic, and look, I'm on record. I don't believe in quote unquote blaming an official for a loss.
I agree.
Anything like that, even though I grew up in Philly and Les Steckel still sticks in my craw. Other than that, look up the 76 Flyers. You'll know what I'm talking about. But when you look at this play, there's almost 3 minutes to go in a game between two divisional rivals fighting for playoffs. That has been an outstanding game up until that point. And here's what I have the problem with, and why, Zach, why is it always Colorado? The interpretation of the rule is that if a penalty is called, you can't review the play, which is the biggest steaming pile of horse manure I have ever heard in my life.
I don't know why they rule it that way.
But, I mean, and here's the thing. I don't know whether the official, and I'm not going to use names, that's not important, but I don't know if the official in question here did that so it couldn't be reviewed. I would hope that wasn't the case. I really would hope that wasn't the case. But the reality is his decision on incidental contact caused by another player, as I hit my microphone, I can't talk without moving my hands, it ended up, I'm sorry, I believe it had a huge portion of deciding that game last night.
I would say it was the thing that decided that game last night. I mean, you guys, you know, are on record of saying you don't blame the officials for a loss. I am not on that record. I think you can place that, you know, that at least regulation loss squarely on the shoulders of that referee.
Well, if it was 5-1, it would have mattered if you took it away. But it was a 2-1 game, and it would have tied the game, and they got it. And when he made the call, it was it's an out for a referee. If he calls a penalty, he doesn't get rerouted. Does not get turned over like it should. It would have, because Blackwell was stopped. I saw it.
Yep.
Frame by frame, he stopped, and he was pushed in. He wasn't really shoved in. He wasn't cross-checked in. He was pushed into it. But the goal was the puck was already in the net. That's what I was.
See, there's two things the two issues I have with this, and again, I'll climb off my soapbox eventually this hour. But I've been storing this up for the past 14 hours. I mean, the issue I have about this is not the goaltender interference call itself. I don't have a problem with that. It's a bang bang play. You're trying to get the right call. You see Colin Blackwell go down on top of the goaltender. It happens. Okay. You make the goaltender interference call.
Incidental.
The problem I have is the penalty call. Yeah. That's the problem I have with that.
He could have called it as incidental.
He could have called it incidental. It would have gone to Toronto.
Right.
And
you'd have had a good goal.
Exactly.
You should have had a good goal.
He didn't have to give him a penalty. He could have said incidental contact because it wasn't really a bad contact. A little small guy on the ice was in front of the net.
Right. Yeah. And the interesting piece about that is that, so that cost the Predators tying the goal. Right. Little did I know that about 8 minutes later on the clock, Nashville SC had a goal disallowed by an official. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It was a popular night for officials
in Nashville.
I mean, you know, it's super frustrating. But here is where, you know, and this is going to be a weird thing for me to do on this show, where I take some positives here.
Oh, there's definitely positives to take out of this.
Here's the nice thing. Nashville cannot buy a favorable bounce right now. And I'm including the fact that they scored with 0.1 seconds remaining. That was just hard work.
It's true.
This team, anything that can go against them right now is going against them, and they're still winning hockey games.
They're still in playoff position.
If you look at this homestand, going 3-1 and a bad call away from, you know, possibly going 4-0 or 3-0-1, you take that every single time. When this team starts having some bounces, go for them. Look out.
Well, and I think, and it's interesting because John Hines referenced this in his post-game press conference, Brent, on Thursday night when he was asked, does this carry through some what's the word I'm looking for? Some momentum to the next game. And his response was, not really, but you have that experience now. And you saw him draw on that in the third period last night. You saw them know they weren't out of that game.
Well, they've come back from every game almost to win through this winning streak, and you know, twice in St. Louis, and we were down both games and came back in the third period, and we've done very well that way. The thing about, you know, the referees, he's part of the game, but the thing that really bugs me about the Predators more than anything is their special teams are still bad. I mean, the penalty kill's come along and played
penalty kill's better.
Yeah, a lot better.
Yes.
But the power play, they had four. They had two right in a row in the second period. They just they didn't even get set up at one time. They got to get the power play going just to get one goal every two games or one goal every game or something like that. We're not getting anything out of the power play now.
You got two on Tuesday night. But, again, to your point, though, what I notice is that it seems like the style of play changes. I mean, in five-on-five, you see the breakouts. You see the nice, crisp passes coming out in the breakouts. They're playing with speed. And, Zach, I don't think we see that as much in the power play.
The interesting thing is that the issue with this team is not talent. It's not makeup. It's all mental. And you've seen it's them true. Break through a lot of those issues lately. You know, right. They are having the comebacks now. But, again, I think Tuesday is the perfect example. You saw special teams as a strength in that one. They had early success in the power play, and it looked fantastic the rest of the game. This team right now, if they have a bad power play to start out with, if they have a bad power play, you know, the first two to start out with, a bad penalty kill, it stays that way for the rest of the game. They can't get back on the horse when it comes to those special teams quite yet. And again, you know, they're rebuilding things on the fly right now with a new coach and a new philosophy coming in there. Mm-hmm. It takes some time, but I think that's the biggest issue right now. Get over yourselves in that regard. You know, have that goalie mentality. Okay, you beat me once. I'm not going to let you beat me again. It's not happening again. They got to get to that level with special teams.
What a fascinating thing to look at here, because we have watched this team since the change in early January. We have watched this team systematically address issues. They've addressed the defensive issues. I think they're playing a lot more solid defensively.
Last night, they were all over McKinnon.
And McKinnon was almost invisible last night. It amazed me.
He was great. He was great the night before in Carolina. I watched the game. But I'm telling you, this guy's a great player. But our team has done a real good job on the rush with good sticks. We must have intercepted or deflected passes they were trying. Yep. And then on the power play, they had it for the whole 2 minutes on our end. And we did a great job of holding on, and UC made some great saves on a couple of rebounds, but I mean, we still let the shot come from the middle, which really bothers me. But they're getting the shots down the middle, but that's the power play. And McCarr, his arms were sore after he did that.
Absolutely, no question about it. So I think we can wrap it up by saying, look, solid performance last night. Break didn't go the team's way, no question about that. But a chance to go 4-1 on a homestand, and I've said it before, I'll say it, take it every day and twice on Sunday. You give me 4 out of every 5, I'm a happy camper. And you know what else I'm a happy camper? I am a happy camper when I'm seeing the good folks over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. That's right. I said it. I'm actually happy when I'm at a dentist's office. I know that's unusual. It's a little bit strange. But Doctors Jane Bacon and Aileen Kruger over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry just do an amazing job. Great staff, comfortable environment, all the latest in dental technology. I am telling you, no better place to go than Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com. Call for an appointment at 872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We brighten smiles. Oh, my. Captain Kurt, behind the glass, at the helm of the Starship Enterprise, on the wheels of steel, pulling out the Don Henley. I'm telling you. Just airing that dirty laundry on Slapshot Radio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Paul McCann, Brett Peterson, Zach McCann coming at you with some Sunday morning hockey talk. Get your butt out of bed. It's time to talk hockey. And we're going to a friend of ours. I tell you what, it's must-watch post-game stuff here. He is the author of a new book called This Team Is Ruining My Life. He is Steve Dangle Glenn. Steve, welcome into Slapshot Radio. We're glad to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again. I get an air of I've been getting an air from Predators fans that they're upset that the Nashville Predators no longer own my biggest freakout.
Yeah, we were kind of happy that we owned the that we had that on your on the 9-2 game from a couple of years ago that I know that you have really tried to blot out of your mind completely. But it is interesting though, Steve, since the after all, emergency backup goaltenders never get into games until they play Toronto, apparently, because all of a sudden an emergency backup goaltender wins a game against Toronto and is a horrible, horrible thing. And all of a sudden we need to take a look at the e-bug situation, even though it happened in Chicago a year and a half ago and no one seemed to freak out.
Oh, I don't know about that. Well, because it's funny. Kyle Dubas, GM of the Leafs, he says, it was a bit of a no-win situation, which was him doing a very bad job of reading the room. None of us wanted to hear that, man. Like, yeah, it was a winnable situation. You had a 42-year-old Zamboni driver who works for your team in net. It was very winnable, man. But now I'm looking at it. So, everyone's putting this on Toronto. Oh, because it happened to them, they're trying to change the rules. Can you imagine if the Leafs, who were down 3-1 when the e-bug went in, can you imagine if they all of a sudden win that game like 10-3 or 15-3? And people rightly point out, dude, this guy who's in the net for the other team is wearing not only a mask with the logo of the minor league affiliate on it,
true.
He's wearing their third goalie's mask. Do you understand? David Ayers has played as many NHL games as Casimir Kaskiswo, and the only difference is Ayers won his.
Well, the other thing is, like, you have to keep in mind, imagine, Steve, he had a Toronto Maple Leafs T-shirt on under his pads.
Yeah, this guy, he was wearing blue pants. No one has worn blue pants for that organization since they were the Whalers.
So,
Steve,
I have to admit,
you're right. You're 1,000% correct on that, Steve. You're absolutely right in that, as everyone does like to say, it's Toronto whining and blah, blah, blah. But it is an issue. Yes, it's a feel-good story, but it definitely is a problem.
Why is it? Hold on a second. Well, hold on. I'm calling timeout. Why is this a problem?
Exactly what Steve just said, because you have an issue like that where you have two teams in playoff position. Is it a feel-good story? Absolutely. Is it fun? You got it. And at the end of the day, is this supposed to be entertainment?
Yep.
Sure. And I completely agree with that. But if this had happened exactly as the way Steve just said it, we would be yelling, screaming, and crying the way we are right now after that debacle last night.
That's a good point. Yeah, so Steve, I mean, when you look at this, though, this is not Joe Schmo from Kokomo that you said, hey, row C, seat number 5 in section 218, congratulations, you're our next goaltender. I mean, this guy did have a little bit of experience.
Well, he played Junior B up here, which is a step below Junior A, which
right.
is a step below Major Junior. Which,
right.
So, like, he didn't play at the highest level or anything. He does have goaltending experience, and I know this, because I woke up the next morning to a text from my cousin telling me that David Ayers was his goalie on Friday night.
Well,
beer league. So he knows how to play goalie. He's probably better than most of the people listening to this conversation right now. But I don't know if he's exactly NHL quality.
But Steve, but you're also forgetting that this is also the third goaltender that gets brought into Toronto Maple Leaf practices.
Oh yeah. Oh, buddy. He was the emergency goalie last night.
God.
This guy's sitting up there, watching the Leafs-Canucks game, having a bag of popcorn, probably getting a per diem of like $100, going, dude, I was on Stephen Colbert like 4 days ago. Like, he's had a wild week, man. Had a wild week. And speaking of emergency goalies, who filled in for my cousin's team on Friday?
Oh no, they got the guy in the available. Snack bar. The guy in the snack bar took care of him.
They must have had to.
And Steve, I have to admit, that was one of the first times I've ever heard you said lost to a backup goaltender that works for the team, and you were probably about maybe 2 octaves below where you were on your video. So you've come a long way in a week.
Yeah, that's oh my God, the internet's wild. Like people got some sort of software. I have no idea what it is.
Oh no!
But there was a pitch I hit in one of my screams, like my voice cracked. And they somehow found out, and I don't know how to check if this is true, but supposedly one of the notes I hit during one of my screams is higher than any note Whitney Houston has ever hit on an album.
Now there is something that you can be proud of, Steve.
That's a new
awesome.
Twitter bio right there.
Oh yeah.
So Steve, we got to talk a little bit of hockey here, because since losing to the emergency backup goaltender, all of a sudden Toronto figured out how to win.
They're undefeated, baby. That's all you need, is to get embarrassed on a staggering level. and actually, you know what's funny about that is when the Leafs lost 9-2 to Nashville, I believe their next 12 games they went 10-1-1.
That's correct. That
so
is correct.
Nothing will motivate you more than embarrassment, which it kind of makes me wonder why the Leafs haven't won more cups over the last half century.
So talk a little bit about the book, yeah. Steve. We only got a few minutes left. I do want to make sure you get a chance to plug the book. What was the idea behind it, and what is it about?
I've been getting a lot of questions over the years because, you know, kids don't want to be movie stars anymore. They want to be YouTubers. And a lot of people like hockey, and they, you know, want to start a YouTube a hockey YouTube channel or a hockey podcast. And I sort of thought, okay, rather than answering everyone's questions individually, why don't I write a book about how this all happened? Because it's taken 13 years. This is the 13th year I've been making YouTube videos. I started when I was 19, not really knowing what the heck I was doing. So the book is a little bit about being a Leafs fan and how they ruined my life, etc. But it's a lot of, coming up, getting internships, going through school, having no idea what I was doing. And, like, you are not going to read this book and come away with the feeling, oh, Steve's a smart guy. You're going to be like, how the heck is this guy still alive, let alone doing what he's doing? So it's a fun hockey book, I think, but it's also a pretty cool life book. And there is there's at least a couple Nashville Predators cameos in there, too.
Oh, I like it. Well, you can get it for a shade under $12 from Amazon.com. Highly recommended. It's a really fun read. We're on the line with Steve Dangle Glenn. And, Zach, you got a question for Steve?
Absolutely. So, Steve, you know, it's funny because I feel like Toronto and Nashville, they're two very similar teams, weighted down by expectations and not quite living up to them. What do you think it is about Toronto that is having them struggle this year? Is it goaltending? Is it defensive structure? Is it all of the above? What's going on in Toronto?
Well, like, Frederik Andersen has been, like, just an absolute security blanket. And, you know, you can rely on him game in, game out. You know the Leafs can be the worst team on the ice and still come away with wins. For the past 2 months, that has been very not the case. His numbers have been brutal. And everyone's trying to figure out what's wrong with Frederik Andersen. And this is how his last little stretch has gone. The past two games, in the first period, Andersen has given up 5 goals. Over the second and third period combined, 0.
Wow.
So he's battling it a little bit. He's slowly finding it. The Leafs just got Jack Campbell off the Kings, who's been fantastic. But, like, I don't know if there's any illusion that he's going to be the Leafs' number one. If they're going to have any success, it's got to be Freddie. So they're letting him battle. They're letting him find it. But, you know, a lot of Leafs fans were sort of getting on Morgan Rielly. He played the majority of the season injured. He finally, after Christmas, was coming out of the injury and saying he was fully recovered. He started playing so much better. They paired him with Tyson Barrie. He started playing so much better. And then all of a sudden, Riley's out for 8 weeks. And people are, you know, including me, are looking at this team going, gosh, what's wrong with them? Well, maybe that they're missing their best defenseman.
That'll do
and
it.
And then when Jake Muzzin went down, that just made it worse. So it's... The Leafs are finally doing the tightening up that they need to do when they're at their most desperate.
Well, you got a team that's on a 3-game win streak, and You know, I don't know if this is good news for you or not, but Nashville does come to town in 11 days. So this could be a fun one because, I mean, you know, the
Leafs
Toronto
have owned
Maple Leafs,
us lately. So.
Yeah, ever since 9-2. You're absolutely right. So this is going to be a good one. And, Steve, we certainly enjoy your work, and we appreciate you taking the time on a Sunday morning to join us, Gang of Idiots, here and talk a little bit of hockey. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Buy my book. Fund my therapy.
He is Steve Dangle-Glenn. Yes, you can buy his book. It is called This Team is Ruining My Life, But I Love Them, or How I Became a Professional Hockey Fan. It is a really fun read. And we will be right back right here on Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Boy, I tell you what, I really enjoy having Steve Dangle on the show. And if you have not had a chance to check out one of his YouTube videos, they are a riot. They're called Leaf Fan Reaction, LFR. He does one after every Toronto game, and they are hysterical. Here I am on Slapshot Radio with the coach, Brent Peterson, our third man in, Zach McCann. And, you know, we kind of went through, yesterday's done. We're done. So let's talk about the upcoming month. We just turned the page onto March. As March begins, the Predators are in the second wild card spot. They still have games in hand on most of the folks that that are either chasing them or they are chasing for better position. But I think we can probably say it right now. There is some separation that have grown in the Central Division. The Predators are 10 points back of the Dallas Stars right now. I think a wild card is probably the best that can be hoped for from this team.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, now you have a back-to-back against Dallas coming up.
So make up some space,
if you want to see some space get made up there, it's certainly not out of that. But, I mean, at this rate, you just got to start having some breaks go your way, honestly. And it's funny because you look at the way this team has been playing. One, the play of Juuse Saros lately has been absolutely stellar. You cannot say enough good things about what he's been doing in net. And then you look at some of the defensive structure. You know, they're still figuring that out a little bit. You still have some players trying to do a little too much out there. And, you know, you kind of got to let the forwards be forwards at one point and stay and do your job as a defender, sure. But honestly, if you can get the top six outside of Mikael Granlund and Victor Arvidsson going, that's when this team is really going to start making some serious noise.
Is that a function of the line combinations right now, Coach?
Yeah, they're getting to know each other, and he's trying to keep the lines together because we've been winning. But I gotta think he's going to change one or two lines now. But Bonino's line's been good all year. They've been steady. They've been you know, patient. They've done a good job for us. And the top six, there are no top six anymore. We got four lines of guys spread out. We got a hustle guy on one line and a digger and a grinder in a corner and a skilled guy in the middle or something like that. And I don't like the lines right now, but they're winning, so you got to go with them. So,
well, I think you ride the horse till it bucks you, and I think last night they may have gotten bucked.
Maybe.
But you don't want to
keep changing them all the time every game because –
You
got to get something ready for the playoffs you got to get something ready right now because you got to make the playoffs yet. Like, we were in a position the last 3 years where we were in first place, and we could just cruise in and we could play anybody with everybody and get everybody used to it, get everybody healthy. We're going in guns blazing for the next 18, 19 games.
I mean, especially when you look at the fact that, you know, should you get in, you're either going against the defending champs or the Viper's Den that is Vegas.
You're gonna get a tough one, and I will tell you, I would much prefer. I mean, you know, if you got to pick your poison, I'm gonna pick St. Louis.
Absolutely, you go with the team you swept.
And I think it's a team that this team matches up well with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're gonna be more physical than they've been this year, but they're in the playoffs. But you know what? We handle physical teams fine.
Sure.
And if Granlund and Blackwell and Arvey can handle the big boys running at them and use their speed to make the big boys turn and do those kind of things, or chip it and jump it in and race and get there before the big guys. They got some good big defensemen down there in St. Louis. I just think we need to use a speed game against them compared to their on their D, and you got to get the shots to the goaltender because Binnington's had a tough year. Jake Allen was in last night, and he played good, but he's always given up a bad goal whenever we played him. So that's why we beat him four straight this year. So I would certainly rather have St. Louis than anybody else.
Well, the kicker is after Nashville swept that home and home,
right?
St. Louis hasn't lost.
Yeah, I know.
They're 7-0.
We woke up Toronto, and we woke up.
Oh, no, we definitely poked the sleeping bear. No question about it. But that's the second time we poked him. So, what's fascinating is going into March now, we're heading into this week is going to be probably one of the larger weeks when it comes down to deciding what's going to happen in the Central Division in some respects, especially for the Nashville Predators, because after tomorrow night's game against Edmonton, and we'll get into that in the next segment, but then you're going to Minnesota, and then, Zach, like you mentioned earlier, a home-and-home with the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, welcome to March, ladies and gentlemen, because you're about to see a lot of hockey over the next few weeks. Where your games in hand, they came at quite a cost because the Predators have a back-to-back every week in March.
Yeah. Friday and Saturday, Sundays.
Well, you've got a couple Saturday, Sundays. Yep.
You've got Monday, Tuesday this week. You've got Saturday, Sunday the following week. And then you've got another Saturday, Sunday. You've got another Saturday, Sunday after that. So welcome, because you're going to make up those games.
Well, at least, I mean, when you look at it, I mean, and I always like to look, when you're looking at back-to-backs, what the travel looks like. Okay, but especially if it's, you know, if it's back-to-back on the road. I mean, this week, Edmonton's in town, you fly to Minnesota right after Edmonton. That's not a really super long flight. You'll get in at a semi-reasonable hour and be able to get some rest. But And then you look at it's Chicago, Minnesota. I mean, not Chicago, excuse me. Columbus, Minnesota next weekend. So, I mean, weekend after, excuse me.
Yeah, boy, it must be nice to be the Wild. You get us on the tired half of a back-to-back twice.
That hurts us.
But, yeah,
and that's a team who's chasing you, only 2 points behind right now.
And then the next back-to-back, the following weekend, is Philly at home flying to Chicago. And then the one after that is Arizona flying to, Arizona in Glendale flying to Colorado. Again, these aren't huge.
Right. Still back-to-back.
It's not like going back-to-back from here to Colorado.
And this is where the play of both goaltenders being at the level that
exactly.
is right now is so helpful because,
it's just too bad that Pekka got sick the other day because he was in a rotation. Now he's got to get back. Now he's got to everything he built up. He got sick and then he lost it now. But he was great when he got hurt or when he got sick last week. He's been great too. And I know UC Soros has been terrific. Mm-hmm. He's been our number one in the last month or so. But Pekka was playing some great hockey too, and they're going to need him on the back-to-backs.
And I think especially you go with Rene on Monday. He has a strong history against the Edmonton Oilers, so that certainly makes sense to play him. Yeah, and then you do Soros on Tuesday when you're playing Minnesota.
Yeah.
And at that rate, you just get that rotation going because both goalies are going to get a boatload of work coming
up
in the next few weeks.
We are strong on goaltending. Mm-hmm. The guys that are going to really hurt in the second game are guys like Josi, who played 27. If he has to play 29 minutes one night when you're trying to win at home, and you got to play the next night in Minnesota, and they're sitting there waiting for you. It'll hurt those guys. But Roman's showing that he can do it, and some of the other guys showing that they don't do it. They don't move their feet in the second game. They just kind of cruise around, and you got to be ready every night, every single game, because it's everybody sees the standings. Yeah. Everybody knows what's going on.
It's funny because you're talking about the defense right now. One thing I think that has to be acknowledged. It doesn't look like Ryan Ellis has missed a beat since
coming back. We used to think that you needed that long. When you're that long off, you needed at least 5 games to get going. He's been, from day one, he's been good. He had a little bit of struggle in game one. Mm-hmm. But after that, after the first period, he was fine, and he's been great.
I mean, just spectacular. And that's just one of the best pairs in the league right now when you have Josi and Ellis out in the ice right now. And just the way that they control the ice, it's just a marvel to behold. I mean, we truly take it for granted sometimes
and
just how good that top pair is.
Top pair is great, and sometimes we get on them because they let a guy score a goal on that Calgary goal, and it was Roman and Ellis defending. You know what? They're on the ice so much, they're going to get scored on once in a while.
Yeah.
they're on the ice so much, and they're just terrific players, and they're just fun to watch, and together they play great. It's just like we used to have Weber and Suter. Mm-hmm. They're great players and play them a lot, and they ran out of steam in the one year that we had the try when we went to to San Jose's Game 7. They had nothing left. And so, but it's been good. And the goaltenders are going to be a key thing because we're going to have a rested goalie every game. Every game, they're not going to be tired. You're not going to have to play unless you want to go with a hot guy. Then you got to go back to back. But there's no need to go back to back. We got five more back to backs left over. Mm-hmm. We can rotate. The second guy can get five games at least.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when you look at this team, I mean, right now, again, as play opens today, really only two games that Pred Nation would be really concerned about. Good one going right now, by the way, between the Flyers and the Rangers going on Channel 4 locally. But the impact games really. Calgary is in action again tonight, which will give them another game in hand on Calgary. They're in Florida, whom Florida is playing some decent hockey right now. And Washington is visiting Minnesota. And Washington has been struggling on the road lately. So
Washington's been struggling everywhere lately.
And you know what? Minnesota is playing very well since they've made the change. And Dean Evason is now the head coach and interim head coach. And they're doing a great job. They blew
we gotta talk
Columbus
about
right
it
off
too.
The ice.
Kevin Fiala has arrived for that team.
Yeah.
Interesting how both Fiala and Backlund and Granlund seems to have kind of broke out at the exact same time. Really fascinating on that one. Yeah. We've got plenty more to talk about. We're going to break down the upcoming week right here on Slapshot Radio with Brent Peterson, Zach McCann. I'm Paul McCann, and we'll be right back on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's amazing when you plug it in, it works a lot better. Unfortunately, my mic came unplugged. I think one of you guys unplugged me.
Sorry, my fault, I guess.
You played Mick Jagger to my Keith Richards. I get it. Anyway, Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game, heading into a big week of Predators hockey. Rare Monday night game at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow night. The Edmonton Oilers in town. Edmonton, a team that was pretty busy at the trade deadline, and those trade deadline acquisitions have now promptly gone to the injured list. Andreas Athanasiou has been hurt. Mike Green has been hurt. I mean, so it
hasn't been a good time for most of the deadline acquisitions or the ones that stayed home. I mean, Carbini Holzer yet to play a game for the Predators. Chris Kreider, who re-signed with the Rangers, broke his foot.
I mean,
that's so sad.
That's a shame. You hate to see that, but I mean, it is amazing what happens. But when you look at this Edmonton Oilers team, you don't go any further than Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, Zach. I mean, period.
I mean, Leon Draisaitl has 102 points on March 1st. That is bananas now.
And you know what? McDavid was right with him until McDavid got hurt.
Right.
And they were 1-2 in the league, and now they're 1-3 in the league. But, I mean, McDavid's great, too. So he's so fast. I love watching him play. He's a great hockey player.
And that's what it was interesting, because I think that you'll see a lot of comparisons between last night's opponent in the Colorado Avalanche, because McKinnon just is every bit as fast as a McDavid.
And the bigger, team, bigger guy.
And bigger. Yeah. And honestly, the team did a really good job in shutting McKinnon down last night. It'll be interesting if they employ the same types of things to try and keep McDavid and Draisaitl off the scoreboard.
You know what they did? They did neutral zone. They had great sticks, and they made sure that they funneled them to where they want to do, and if two guys went at him and got him, he was trying to beat people, and he just didn't have the game he usually has. And usually he's open, and he's freewheeling, and that's what McDavid does. Draisaitl goes to the net better than anybody, but McDavid makes the plays, and then he's got the – it's just a hard thing to stop.
You know, it's funny, because I think you can look at the previous game against the Oilers, and you know exactly what you have to do in this case. Yeah. Stay out of the box.
Yeah, they're number one in power play.
By a lot. They are incredible on the power play. So if you want to have any chance of taking this team out, no stupid penalties, no nothing. You know, play choir boy on Monday.
Dave Tippett always has had good power plays wherever he's been.
Well, you look at it. You look at, Draisaitl's their leading scorer. You're looking at 15 of his 39 goals have come on the power play. Yeah. You look at McDavid, who's with 31 goals, 11 of them on the power play. The other power play sniper, through, you know, for the Edmonton Oilers, who we won't see tomorrow night, is James Neal, who scored 12 of his 17, I think it's what, 12 of his 19 goals have been on the power play. But Neal's on the shelf. Klefbom's on the shelf. I mean, this team is banged up a little bit, but there's still a boatload of firepower to deal with.
You know, you take away, you know, all those players, you still have Leon Draisaitl, you still have Connor McDavid, Andreas Athanasiou will be in, he is back healthy, so you've got someone like that playing with someone like McDavid and Draisaitl.
It's terrifying.
Hopkins has been incredible.
Yeah, he's been good this year. Mm-hmm. Best year he's had.
So, and then And then you look at you think that this team is probably, you know, even fixed their issues in between the pipes. I mean, you look at Mike Smith having a great year for the Oilers.
He's a predator killer.
Yeah, no kidding. We were talking about that earlier today. And Koskinen is also posting some good numbers. He's got a 9.11. He's got a better save percentage than Smith does, and only a slightly increased goals against. They're both goaltenders are sub 3 goals against. Both goaltenders are 90% plus save percentages. I mean, it honestly doesn't matter which goaltender is in net right now. They have a true 1A, 1B situation that's working really well for them, Zach.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at what they're doing, and it's impressive. Now, they have kind of fallen back a little bit, and they're in that mushy middle of the Pacific. And honestly, at this rate, I think that with the way that the Minnesota Wild have come on and the way that you're seeing the Winnipeg Jets play, it is probably top three or bust for the Pacific right now.
Yeah,
so
looks that way.
You're going to have some good teams miss the playoffs in that case.
And the interesting piece is when you look at what's happening, you have got the Vegas Golden Knights, who's on an 8-game win streak. They're 8-1-1 in their last 10. They're sitting on top of the Pacific at 80 after an underwhelming first half of the season. This is a team that has certainly seemed to have gotten their collective poop in one scoop. And then you've got Vancouver, that I think, honestly, losing their goaltender, they've had a couple of injury issues that is hurting them. So, I mean, you're looking at a four-way battle or a three-way battle, really, for those three playoff spots that are going to come out of the Pacific. And, you know, Calgary, Edmonton, and Vancouver, interesting, the three Canadian teams are battling for
it. I still throw Arizona in that mix, too. I mean, you know, you look right below with what's going on with them.
They're 72 now, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're tied in that. I don't disagree with you, Zach. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like that's a team that doesn't think it can do it right now. I mean, you know, okay, I mean, that got a nice win last night, 5-4-1 in their last 10. This is a team that has some weapons, but this was a team that it was also hamstrung by some, believe it or not, and this is the thing that just absolutely floors me, by cap issues.
Yep.
At the trade deadline. And wait a minute, what are you saying, Paul, that Arizona is a cap team? Well, actually, with some of the dead money that they're carrying, I think they're still carrying Chris Pronger.
I think they're still carrying Gordie Howe, aren't they?
They might. I think they did pull that. They pulled some of that off as well.
Yeah, Richard's contract's killing them. So.
Exactly. You know, the Rocket, hey, he earned his money. But you look at some of the dead cap weight they're covering. It's fascinating how that's kind of come back to bite them in the butt, and they're trying to, you know, get back into it here. So the next week is going to be a fascinating week, folks. There's no question it all gets going tomorrow night. Predators in Edmonton. Limited tickets do remain. It's going to be a good one tomorrow night. If you enjoyed last night's game, except for the last 3 minutes and 14 seconds, you'll love the game tomorrow because it's going to be a fast up-and-down affair, Brent.
Yeah, it'll be quick. They're quick at. And they wind up and go way back like Chicago used to do. And McDavid comes with speed, and he can beat you 1-on-1. He can beat you any time. He gets that stutter step, and then he goes, and he's got acceleration. And then Draisaitl's going to the net. He's a big, strong guy that gets goals the way you're supposed to get goals. Tip ends from McDavid, and he's just a great player too. So
absolutely. Well, there you go. You just killed another hour on a Sunday morning here with Slapshot Radio. We're back next Monday night at 7 p.m. Thanks for joining us. We're back on Monday. Big thank you to our guest tonight, Steve Dangle Glenn. Check out his book, This Team is Ruining My Life. Of course, we thank our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Carter Church from Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group, your real estate agent in Murfreesboro and Nashville, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits on Moores Lane in Cool Springs, and Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries with three locally owned Middle Tennessee locations. When you visit one of our sponsors, please tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio and thank them for their support. For our producer, the one and only Captain Kurt, our co-hosts Brett Peterson and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.